Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. Let us pray. O God, overflowing with mercy and compassion, you lead back to yourself all those who go astray. Preserve your people in your loving care, that we may reject whatever is contrary to you and may follow all things that sustain our life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.' The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation.' But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, "It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth"? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, "I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever." And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 51 responsively. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me. Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb. Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my wickedness. A reading from 1 Timothy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ may display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel for our hearing this day is found in the Gospel according to Luke. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or, what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. People of God, grace to you and peace in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. As I begin, I want to thank you, first of all, for your partnership in the gospel and for your love of God and God's people. Yesterday, I had a wonderful time with a group of your leaders who are going to be helping you and leading you through the All Are Welcome restoration and renovation ministry that you are beginning to undertake, that starts with this weekend and runs for the next 5 weeks or so, at least in terms of a more intense process. But before we talk a lot about that, let me begin with the gospel lesson for today that we heard. There is nothing quite like the joy that is celebrated in heaven. We hear those words ringing out from Jesus, "And I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven." And again, "Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God." Joy in heaven. And so I have titled my sermon today, "Catch the Joy." The gospel lesson tells us that there are a collection of people that were seeking Jesus out. They were trying to listen to him. They wanted to hear him. And so they pursued him wherever he went. Now Luke names them as tax collectors and sinners. They were on the move to hear this Jesus and the good news that he proclaimed. Now Luke names another set of people who were hanging around too, and he titles them more or less the onlookers, the Pharisees and the scribes. And Luke tells us that they were grumbling about the fact that Jesus just welcomed everybody, especially sinners, and even ate with them. And so it's in that context that then Jesus tells these two parables that we just heard. "Which one of you," Jesus starts, "if you had 100 sheep and one of them was lost, wouldn't go looking for that one that was lost? And when you found it, wouldn't you carry it home and throw a celebration, inviting your neighbors and friends and all the while saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost'?" Well, perhaps it's a little bit over-the-top type celebration, right? But here is the punchline. "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance." When it comes to God's joy, there are no bounds, and it is an over-the-top celebration that Jesus is talking about when he talks about those whom he welcomes and those whom he eats with. Now Jesus followed with a second story, a slightly different twist on it, and he talks about a woman. "Now, or what of a woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds that one coin? And when she finds that one coin, she calls together her friends and neighbors all the while saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost.'" Would you do that if you found the one coin that you lost? Well, but here comes the punchline, you see. Jesus says, "Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repent. The shepherd and the woman in these stories evoke for us an image of a God who not only actively seeks out individuals who are lost, note the emphasis on the one in the 100 and the one in the 10, but also rejoices when they are found. This is not a God who punishes or who makes impossible demands. Rather, it is a God who seeks restoration of relationships and reestablishment of community. A God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. While the sheep and the coin are lost, they are not just out of sight lost. They are separated from community and at risk because of that separation. Being lost prompts the shepherd and the women to go after and to search until what is lost is found. God doesn't just stand by and wait when the beloved are lost, no, but engages in an active pursuit to reach out and to find the one who is at risk. And when God's grace finds us, the outcome is unmistakable. There is joy in heaven. More joy in heaven. Joy even in the presence of the angels of God. The joy becomes because of the finding, and everyone is invited to join in that celebration. As Jesus tells those stories, rejoice with me, for I have found that which is lost. The gospel lesson from Luke invites us into discovering this God of finding and of joy making. This is the God through whom you and I live and move and have our being. This is the God who gave his only Son to the work of establishing a community of the reconciled for the sake of the world. This is the God by whose name we have been adopted as sons and daughters, heirs of the gift of grace, and invitees to the celebration. As you begin your all are welcome restoration and renovation capital campaign, this sense of joy gives you an opportunity, because of your baptism in the body of Christ, because of your communion in the church. You and I are not only invited to rejoice with God in this celebration of the finding, but now we are invited also to become ambassadors of that joy and to witness to that joy through our own lives and with our own work and commitments. For some of you, it's been a long time in the planning, as I heard, for the restoration and renovation that you need to do here. And I guess one of the kids had it right, right? It'll rot if you don't. Maybe he should be on the building committee, right? But now is the time. You have chosen this time to invite each other to step forward, not only to be at the celebration, but to become the joy through your own acts of commitment, of service, and of giving, to catch the joy through the All Are Welcome ministry. Yesterday I had a wonderful time with your leaders and listened to you talk about, you know, your ministry here and your plans for the restoration and renovation. In some of the names of people that I heard, amongst those of some of you who are here today, were Henry Salaby, and I'm probably going to murder these names in terms of Salaby. There you go. I had the emphasis in the wrong place. Ned and Shirley Tetlow, John Maynard and his wife, and many others of you who they mentioned as they were talking about the different ministries that you do. St. Peter's by the Sea has a deep and a long tradition of extending a welcome to all. The saints who went before you have welcomed you and passed the torch of hospitality and of this vision and passion for your mission on to you. And you, in your turn, are now at a place where you can build and add to that legacy of service and of caring as you pass it on to the future generation. You are able to do this because of the one who found you and who gathered you into this community of grace, who saved you and built you into this community where you can live and grow and share in God's love. You have raised your families here. You have shared celebrations here. You have commended loved ones at life's closing to the hands of the Good Shepherd through your ministry here. And that legacy of service and compassion and love is what is at stake as you look at the opportunity and the challenge that is before you for the restoration and the renovation that will be required in order to undergird this ministry into the years ahead. But this opportunity is an opportunity to be caught up in the joy that is celebrated in heaven over every one who comes to know and experience God's love through your presence. The All Are Welcome campaign has a goal of $450,000 to be received over the next 3 years. That's a challenge for you. But as you share together, as you talk about your ministry, as you look at how God has blessed you and how you can participate in the celebration and in the joy, over the next weeks, you will have an opportunity, each of you, to consider your own gift. And on Commitment Sunday, on October 20th, is when all of the gifts will be collected. And until that day, there won't be any commitment cards that will be shared because we'll do it all together on that one day as a part of worship. But until then, you will be invited into times of prayer. You will be invited into times of conversation. You will be invited to opportunities to learn and to share with one another about the challenge that is before you and the blessing of this ministry that you are undertaking. The joy that we hear about in the parables of today is the kind of joy that God invites you also to experience as you say yes to God's invitation to share in the work that is before you. God's greatest joy is in giving us the kingdom. It is given to us without regard, freely, to sinners and to tax collectors and to all. In turn, as people marked by the cross of Christ in our baptism, we turn to find great joy in our giving so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can be shared with the world and with all who still seek a Savior. Pastor Marone shared with me some of the stories, and in fact, in the first announcement today, you talked about some of the things that you have done in the community here for the 25th anniversary of the ELCA. Lots of good ministry and strong ministry is a part of your tradition here. What I heard more than anything else as Pastor Marone was talking was the joy that people experienced by being involved that weekend. Each of you will have a decision and have the opportunity to decide how God is inviting you to give so that together you may be able to meet the challenge that stands before you. Friends, surely, surely the day is coming when with all creation we will hear again the invitation of our loving and gracious God, who invites us by saying, "Come, rejoice with me, for I have found the one who was lost." And until that day, may you and I catch the vision and experience the joy in the work that is right before us, the work to restore and to renovate the house of God here at St. Peter's through the All Are Welcome ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.